All right. Well, I hope you brought your Bible and that you'll look on in the scripture today. And if you're tuning in online, that you'll also be joining in with the scripture. Today, we are going to be talking about amazing call, the amazing call of Jesus. And we're going to pick up in Matthew and chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. Matthew chapter 28. The scripture records here some precious things of the words of our Lord. Before he ascended back to heaven, our resurrected Lord spoke these things to his followers, to those who believed on him, those who trusted him by faith. And so he gives this amazing call to us. This amazing call. So this in particular isn't the call to salvation, although that is an amazing call. And the Lord Jesus came for that very purpose, to seek and to save the lost. There is no sinner too great, but that our Lord has not paid the price for their salvation. So if you are not saved, you can be. If you're joining us online this morning, you can know Christ. You can come to Christ as your Savior. And so we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to speak forward the Word of God. And you know, in this Easter season, we've had the amazing Easter series. I'm not trying to be funny. It's the amazing Easter series in this amazing Easter season. And many messages that you're going to find. Maybe you've heard some of them already, but maybe you've missed a few. I'd encourage you to go back. Find our YouTube channel, and if you don't know where that is, if you go to our website, you can follow the link right there from our website at victorybaptistharvey.com, victorybaptistharvey.com. Also, on the website, not only will you find the access to the YouTube channel and the videos there, some of them are posted right on the homepage of our web page. You can find some videos right there. But you can also go to the sermons page and find years of messages going back. You can search by topic or different by scripture, and you can find numerous different messages that have been recorded. Now, those are mostly just audio recordings in the sermons page, but we've got more than a year now of YouTube messages that are on YouTube from Sunday mornings and many Wednesday nights. We've been doing the Daniel series on Wednesday night, and so you'll want to check out those messages as well. All right, so praise God for the opportunities to hear God's word and to grow. That's what we want to do. We want to be a blessing. We want to be a help. Whether you're here in Harvey, North Dakota, right in this community here, we sure want to be a blessing to you, all right? Or whether you're out of town, out of state, in a different country, but still on planet Earth, we still want to be a blessing to you as well, all right? So, praise the Lord. Amazing call. Matthew 28, let's pick up in verse 16. The scripture says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Heavenly Father, oh, we pray that you would speak this morning to us, that the Holy Spirit would have liberty, that you would help us as the frail vessels that we are to be allowing you to use us to fulfill this call. this amazing call, the opportunity we as disciples have to serve you and to share the greatest message this world has ever and will ever know, that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day, and salvation is available to whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for this. Oh, I pray that this wonderful good news we would be mindful to share with those around us, with a lost and dying world. Father, help us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amazing call. This is a greater call than any monarch or president could ask of a citizen. We, as those who have come by faith and trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, Jesus gives us this call, the call to not only follow Him, but the call to tell others about Him. Please notice number one here this morning, to go and tell. In this amazing call, go and tell, Jesus says, everyone, in a paraphrased manner, go and tell everyone about me. Tell everyone about me. Oh, notice here, as the scripture says in verse 19, Jesus, before he ascended back to heaven, says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. This is what we know as the Great Commission, to go into all the world. There is no creature, speaking of the human race, no creature that God does not want the message to go to. Everyone can be saved if they will. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Mark 16, verse 15, records this Great Commission this way. Verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Speaking of mankind. Oh, we have the light of life, the light of the world has come to this world, and we share that light. We can be little moons that reflect the light of the sun. The moon itself does not have light, but it majorly reflects the light of the beautiful sunshine. And it is a light in the night. We can be a light in the night if we will let God's love shine through us, if we will let the hope of Christ shine through our life. Oh, we as Christians should not be the pessimistic, down and outer, complaining and belly aching type of people. Oh, we have the joy of the Lord. Our God is in control. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what new regulations they're pushing through Congress. It doesn't matter. We are the King's children. We know Jesus. We have the hope of heaven when this life is over. When we take our last breath in just a few short days, years, maybe even minutes, who knows. But you know what? When we take our last breath, I mean, good grief, it's only going to be a max of 100 years and probably a lot less than that. And we are going to be with Him, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And now, of course, if Christ returns, and that's looking sooner all the time, and certainly it's nearer now, friends, than it has ever been. He is coming again. We have the greatest privilege of telling people about Jesus. Oh, God, help us. Help us to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts because we're walking with the Lord ourselves, walking in sweet communion. I don't know if you noticed your bulletin this morning, but on the front it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. 1 John 1:7. Fellowship with Him. Oh, what a blessing to have fellowship with the Heavenly Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. Oh, friends, There's so many people around us who are religious, but lost. Religious, but lost. I think of Nicodemus as a good example in the scriptures of in John chapter 3. We won't go there necessarily, but the Bible records that Nicodemus came to Jesus at nighttime. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was one who, he was a little concerned to be seen talking with Jesus and asking questions of Jesus. He didn't want to be maligned for his seeking. But he was seeking, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him straight up, "You need to be born again, Nicodemus. Are you a master? Are you a leader in Israel, and you don't know this? You have to be born again." There's the physical birth. We all have that. But there's the spiritual birth, Nick. You need the spiritual birth if you're going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, I believe, did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would take your Bible to John 19, John 19, look at verse 38 and 39. John 19, verse 38. We're coming now to the record of Jesus having hung on the cross and died, and a Roman soldier piercing his side with a spear. And the scripture tells us here that Joseph had gotten permission from Pilate to take the body of Jesus. Verse 38, it says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." Nicodemus, one of the two that took our Lord's precious, broken, bloody, dead body down from the cross. It declares to us here that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, although secretly. And he also was in leadership in the Jewish community here on the council. The Bible tells us he did not consent to their wicked deeds in crucifying Jesus. But I have the idea that Nicodemus loved the Lord and that he had believed and that he was born again. That's my surmising, perhaps, from what I read in the text. But you know what? Here's a man who was very religious when he came to Jesus in John 3. Religious, but lost. A man who would have known the scriptures, a man who would have had a belief in God, but yet he had not come personally to be born of the Spirit of God by faith in the Messiah. And, you know, there's people in our communities that are so religious, they're perhaps very dedicated and sincere in their church, but still lost. How can we lovingly reach out to them? How can we, in the love of Christ, help them to see the truth that ye must be born again? There must be the spiritual birth. Baptism does not save. Oh, you could be sprinkled. Of course, the Bible doesn't teach that. But you could be sprinkled. You could be dunked. You could be have all kinds of prayers said over you. But that does not save you. But the individual, whether child, adult, senior, on your deathbed, however it is, hanging on a cross, dying, by calling on Jesus, you can be saved. By believing that he is the only way, you can be saved. Saved. No work of your own, but completely of Christ. And so, this wonderful news, this good news we have to share with the world. Oh, we must take God's call, Jesus' call here seriously. Go and tell every creature about me. We have a risen Savior. He has defeated sin and death. Let's go now to John chapter 3. I'd like to look beginning with verse 17. John 3 and verse 17. John 3, it says here, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Faith in Christ is what saves. Verse 19 now, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." People don't want to come to the light. Many times there are people who don't want the light. They are complacent in their sin. They're afraid of what God might require of them and what they might have to give up. Oh, friends, what a nonsense way of thinking. Oh, it's worth it all to trust the Lord. It's worth eternity's gain to believe on the Savior. And we need to help people to see that. We need to help people to see that Jesus really loves them and came that they might be saved. Oh, I think of Peter preaching, talking to a group that assembled in the plaza at the temple called Solomon's Porch. Go over to Acts chapter 3, if you would, where Peter there is speaking to this group. Now, this is in the infancy of the early church. The Lord Jesus has ascended back to heaven. The day of Pentecost has come and gone. And Peter and John, chapter 3 of Acts, verse 1, records, Peter and John had gone to the temple at the hour of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had seen a lame man at the gate there, and they ministered through God's divine healing. They were used of God to minister healing to this lame man. And a group gathered thereby, and Peter is talking to them. Notice verse 12, it says, "And when Peter saw it," the people gathering together, wondering what has just happened, "when they saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied," verse 14, "but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you," speaking of Barabbas, verse 15 now, "and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses, and his name," through faith in his name, "hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And let's skip down to verse 19 for time's sake. He says to this crowd, some of the very ones who had called for Jesus' crucifixion, not but perhaps less than 2 months earlier. And he says in verse 19 to this group, he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent! Turn from sin! Have a change of mind about about your life and about Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. Be converted. Peter called for people to come to Christ, to believe on Jesus as the only way, that he is the promised one, and that they would cast their lives, their souls upon him. There is hope still today. People can still turn from sin and find hope in the Savior. He is still saving from sin. There is hope. Oh, in this pandemic that is talked about so much and has caused so much havoc, much of it not due to the pandemic, quote unquote, itself, but lockdowns, restrictions. But you know what? We have the cure. We do not have to fear death. I'm not calling for us to be foolish or harmful, but we have the cure. Oh, friends, we have life eternal through Jesus Christ. It's free. It's paid for at great price. We have the hope, the good news. Consider the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Let's notice verse 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." We have the hope of life eternal. Death is not our end as a Christian, as those who've trusted Christ. It is the beginning. It is the beginning of that life with God, that life in God's bliss. Oh, we look forward to the glorious body, the resurrected body that he will give us one day. Oh, we do not have to sorrow as others who have no hope. You know what? The vast majority of people in our world do not have the hope of Christ. They do not have it. The vast majority of people in the United States of America do not have the hope of Christ, the peace of Christ. They don't have it. The vast majority of people in North Dakota do not have the hope of Christ in their hearts. We can be used of God to bring hope. What about in your corner? Our theme this year is each one reach one. Each one reach one. Let's keep praying for the individuals on our 2021 plan. We'd pray for those five individuals and ourselves that we would be the witness God wants us to be. May God help us. Let's keep that in front of us as we think about the risen Christ, as we think about his call to go and tell. Go and tell the world about me. Go and tell there's hope for sinners. Go and carry the message. Secondly, I want you to notice here this morning that we are to not only go and tell, but we are to go and teach. Go and teach. Here in Matthew 28, verse 19, it tells us here, it says, "Go therefore and teach all nations." God wants us to not just share a flowery, snowy message about Christ dying for us, but our life doesn't need to change at all. That you know, you can just live the same old way, just add Jesus to your boat, add some fire insurance to your policy. That's not the message of the gospel. Yes, Christ did all the work, and yes, he can save the worst of sinners, and yes, we can put a period right there in the sense that the finished work of Christ is 100% the work of God and not the work of man. But as a saved person, God calls us to obedience. He calls us to grow. He calls us to, as disciples, to make disciples. "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," he says. And in the Great Commission, in this great call, he calls us to teach all nations. Notice verse 20. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things." All things. the whole counsel of God. Not just to simply cherry pick a few verses and string together a big, you know, doctrinal statement and what we know, but to teach the whole counsel of God, to love the Bible and to teach it faithfully and rightly divide the word of truth. Teach them to observe all things. Help others to obey the commands of God, the commands of Jesus. This is the call of discipleship. There's salvation, 100% the work of God, that changes a man's or a woman's destiny from hell and his own damnation because of his sin to heaven because of Jesus. But then we come to the need for growth. Peter tells us, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Growth is important. It's not enough for a little baby to be born into this world and to come out all red and crying and needing sustenance and whatnot. It's not enough for them to be born. Oh yes, they're alive. There's life there, for sure, as a matter of fact. But they need to grow. And if they don't grow, if they don't eat, if they're not taught, if they're not trained, they'll live a miserable life in their short existence, you know, in those times. They need love and guidance and care that they might grow into maturity and be honorable, an honorable citizen, an honorable human being, an honorable son or daughter. But you know what? Just the same. It's not enough for us to just be saved. We need to grow in Christ. Not to keep our salvation. Not that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about maturing, though, and honorable to our Heavenly Father, and being a son or a daughter that gives glory to God and that brings others to Christ. So discipleship is so important. Otherwise, we will starve and we will flounder. And we will not do the will of God. God's will is for believers, for saved people, for Christians, to obey Him, to walk in all His commands. The Bible tells us, as the church, as the assembly of God's people, it says in Hebrews 10, verse 24, to consider one another. Consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So we need to help one another to obey. Well, how can we help others obey, as this mighty call is, to help others to obey, right? To go and tell the message of Christ, but also to help others to obey, to teach them what God says and to help them to obey. Well, how can we help others if we are not obeying ourselves, right? It's so important that I am walking with the Lord, that I am doing the will of God, that I am obeying the words of our Lord. We each have many shortcomings. I have many. I am certainly not without failures. But with God's help, we can obey Him, and we can live a genuine life of love to the Lord and honor for Christ's name. That I would not bring a reproach upon Christ. That I would accurately present what He really is and what it is to be His child. That we would live the will of God. Please consider Titus chapter 2. Let's flip over there, Titus chapter 2. Right after Timothy there, we find Titus chapter 2. Let's pick up verse 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." This is the will of God for every child of His, that we would live godly, that we would not be a reproach to Christ. Oh, we as Christians in our community should be some of the best neighbors, some of the best citizens, some of the most faithful businessmen and women. We should be that kind of people who treat others fair, even when it disadvantages ourselves at times, that we go the extra mile, that we reach out to people, that we prefer others above ourselves, that we are a proper testimony for Christ. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, notice what it says, from all iniquity. That's why He died. He died to redeem us from all iniquity. How, as Romans 6 says, you know, God's grace is abundant, right? But how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We as God's people need to walk with the Lord and walk in obedience. I bring your attention again to 1 John 1 verse 7 on our bulletin flyer, on the front of the bulletin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. We need to have that fellowship for us to be the testimony that He wants us to be. Notice verse 14 here in Titus 2. It says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, passionate about doing good. That's God's will, that His children would be passionate people about doing good in our communities, in our neighborhoods, as an individual in our area, in our world. Not that we should become sidetracked with some necessarily just a social type of thing, but that we are living in obedience to Christ's commands to love one another. This is what He calls us to. It's an amazing call. Go and tell. Go and teach. And number three, He says, go in My strength. Go in My strength. Notice the scripture here in Matthew 28, verse 18. Verse 18, it says here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, remember, this is before He ascended back to heaven. He's the risen Christ. And He says this. He says, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. The word power here has the idea of two things, really. All ability, but it also has the idea of authority. This is His jurisdiction. He bought and paid for this people. He's got every right to redeem sinners in this world. He's got every right to fulfill His will in this world, for it is twice His. But also He's got the ability to carry it out. And this is what He shares with His disciples, very first actually. He says, all power is given unto Me, the power is His, and as we abide in Him, we can bring forth fruit. Consider Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Please notice here with me, beginning with verse number 3. Acts 1 verse 3, the Bible says, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He speaks here of the filling of the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell God's people. Verse 8, He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem here, your home city, and in Judea, this province right here, and in Samaria, the next neighboring province, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The power is His. The ability is His. And so go in His strength. John 15 tells us that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can we except we abide in Him. We must abide. There are branches bursting forth this spring with buds. They're coming. But you know what? Those branches are only bursting forth with buds because of their vital connection to the trunk, to the main a structure of the tree or bush. And Christ is our structure, our source of life, strength. Without me, He said, ye can do nothing. But with Him, we can do His will. Number four this morning. Number four, not only go in my strength, but He says, go with my presence. Notice back in Matthew 28, it says here in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. I am with you. Oh, we could have no greater companion in this world. The presence of the Lord. Not only His ability to help us do His will, to help us to go and tell, to help us to go and teach, but we have His strength and we have His presence. In John 14, Jesus said to His disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. He talked to them about how He was going to send the Holy Spirit of God. He would not leave them alone. The indwelling Holy Spirit, the presence of God with us. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13, 6. The presence of God with His people, with me, with you. You know what? You may feel alone in this world. You may feel like no one cares, especially if you're in a situation of maybe quarantine or isolation from family, whatever the case may be. There are some going back into such situations. I know that even to our neighbors to the north, Canada, they're locking down again in major ways. But you know what? He is with us. We may feel alone, but He is ever with us. The Lord is our helper. Let us abide in Him to bring forth fruit. Oh, in John 15, for sake of time, I won't be able to read that passage, but in John 15, verses 7 through 11, Jesus talks there about how if we abide in Him, we'll see answers to our prayers. Oh, we'll see in verse 8, the Father glorified. We'll see in verse 9, love shared through the Father, through us and around. We'll see in verse 10, the commands of God will be obeyed. And in verse 11, Jesus says, and there'll be joy in your soul, the joy of the Lord as you abide in me, as you abide in the vine. We can be fruit-bearing Christians. Oh, it's an amazing call. The amazing Easter series. We are called. Called to follow. Called to go and tell. To go and teach. To go in His strength. To go with His presence. For He is with us. Oh, it's good news. Let us relish in the all that God has for us. Oh, my friend, thank you for your attention here this morning. Oh, we've got a big call on our lives. Can we walk with God and see His will fulfilled in our hearts, in our lives, through us, will you shine forth the glorious light and life of Christ.